Up in the morning, out on the job, I gotta work for my pay. But that lucky old Rex, he's got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Rex likes to play, Rex likes to play, Rex likes to play all day. And he's up in the morning, rolling around, having all the fun that he can. Right, Rex? Oh, yes. Rex is our golden retriever, as if you didn't know. And this is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. On a glorious graduation note and a sorry ascension note. Our wonderful student, Jason, who arrived here from Yawk, New Jersey, he spent a week with us, and he has left his mark on the campus. An indelible mark. And there's no way we can get rid of it, nor do we want to. But he's come here, and now he's going to ascend. Now you say, he's going to die? Yes. He's going to die to this experience. This is going to be now past. And since he always lives in the present, he's going to be living in the present wherever he is. And he will not live in the past. He will not remember being on campus, except that he will have built up some qualities about himself, some values and some attitudes, and these will always be with him. But he won't say, I got those at the monastery. He won't say, my mother taught me that. He won't say, my dad taught me that. He won't say all of these things that we're accustomed to saying, you know, because that's not fair. All the bad things your dad taught you, you don't tell people about that. All the good things your dad taught you, you don't tell people that. You live it. Now, wouldn't it be the most wonderful thing if you were the representation of your family, of your dad, of your mom, of who you are? And of course you are. But wouldn't that be something if people thought of it from that point of view? Now, you look at Anita and you say, Anita, your mother must be the most spectacular woman on earth. She must be the glorious being on earth. And your dad, a super duper guy, you know, wow, oh golly, you've been raised by the top of the drawer, you know. And Anita says, well, there were times. Well, Anita, do you remember those times? She says, well, I told myself there were times that I can't remember what they are. And don't try. Don't try. Don't try to remember the good stuff either. Just be it. Be it. Parents are always utterly amazed when the neighbors come over and they say, oh, your son, your daughter was visiting this afternoon. And they are such gentle people. Such wonderful persons, you know. Your daughter is so mannerly. Your daughter is so joyous to have around. She makes me feel just 100 feet tall, you know. She just makes me feel good. Yum. Anita has a nephew. And this nephew is a big schluck, you know. He's 12, 13 years old or something like that. What is he? And of that age, he's just at that age of testing everything, you know, testing everybody to see if they're going to be good, bad, or indifferent. But he knows who he is. But he's just pulling everybody's chain as much as he can. And he's just checking to see if they flush away. Well, he had the opportunity to go to work for a company as a, not a trainee, but as an observer, to observe how the architectural company does its work. And so he went there. And he not only observed, but wherever possible, he participated. He would sweep the floor and dust the table. He would put the things away. He would take the things out. He would do everything that they were even thinking about. He just tuned into them. But he did it mannerly. He did it with great joy. He did it with a great feeling of wonderful quality. He just was utterly great. Now, what was going on? Was that who he is? Mm-hmm. Was that who he is? Or was that who his parents were? Or was that the man who ran the business? Did he draw that out of that young man because the man himself did this? Well, the story goes on, and the man tells the boy's mother, "Do you know, that boy is the most mannerly boy that I have ever seen. He is the quickest learner. He is just eager to do everything." And he didn't have to do any of these things, but he did everything even before he was even asked, or could be asked. And what a fabulous young man. And the mother said, "Of course, of course." And of course, in the back of her head, she's thinking to herself, "My God, all the things that I've shared with him all of his life, it stuck." he's living it, he's doing it. But we don't know. We don't know. Now, this man didn't have to be so gracious to say such lovely things about the young man, but he said the things about the young man because the young man was good. The young man had charm. He had grace. He had responsibility. He had the wisdom about him that was utterly beyond his years, but it was not really a wisdom. It was just a natural proclivity to be beautiful, helpful, thoughtful, joyous, kind, and like that. He just is natural like that. Now, people come up to me and they play with Rex and they say, "Oh, he's just pure love, he's pure love." Of course. He's just like his dad, you know. He's just pure love. But really, what are they saying about Rex? They're saying the home in which Rex lives must be a very loving home, because Rex, 99 and 99 100% of the time, is a loving dog. Occasionally, when two treats are dropped, he tries to claim both of them. And that's a no-no. But that's something that we learn. And little love now has Rex's bone, because Rex is out on the porch standing guard duty, looking around, enjoying the world. But you see, Jason is going to be going home from here today. He's going to catch an airplane and fly east. And he's just going against Horace Greeley's comment, "Go west, young man." And he's going to go east, because now he's been west. And he's going to take the magic of the west back east with him. And everywhere he goes, people are going to look at him and say, "Jason, you've changed." And Jason will say, "Oh, you are so thoughtful, you are so wonderful, you are so beautiful. I just love looking and talking to you. You're so great." He won't say, "Yes, I changed," or "No, I didn't," or "You just see that." He's just going to compliment the person on how wonderful they are. Obviously, they have good taste, you know. But he's going to compliment the person on how wonderful they are. And he will not say, "Yes, I changed," or "No, I didn't," because he didn't. He always was that gracious, ideal human being. And what he had been working on all of his life was the elusive Pimpernel. He had been working on the concept that he wanted to be the ideal
divine being.
The ideal divine being. He wanted to be the ideal divine being the ideal human being that his family taught him. But the ideal divine being, what had to happen for that to be revealed? He had to take time to go within and listen to the spark within him talking to him. Now here, he says, "Herb, you got bewitched on, and you got this on, and you got talks, and you got work to do, and you got lessons to read, and you got bickering that you're doing with people, you know, and all that sort of stuff. What is all that? What is all that?" And I say, "Jason, I'm just giving you back a little bit of what you give out to the world. You go around the world pulling everybody's chain, and everybody gets all shook up. And it doesn't bother you at all. because you go around looking for people that when you pull their chain, they're untouched, just like you are. And that's what you're looking for, because you do not want to be in a world of sensitive, touched people who have no values and stand up for no principle. You want in your world people just like you, people with values, people with principle, people who believe in themselves, people who are not out to change the world, not out to make the world better or worse, heaven forbid, huh? But they're out to be themselves and
have fun.
Right. They're out to be themselves and have fun. And is that what Jason's doing?
Yes.
And is that what he's always going to do?
Yes.
Does Jason like himself?
Yes.
Is he hard for us to like him?
No.
Not at all. Why do we like Jason? Now, yes, Ellen, you're doing the right thing. Ellen, you see, she thinks her gestures come across on the tape here. Ellen, what were you doing?
I was pointing to myself because I like myself.
What were you meaning when you were pointing to yourself?
I pointed to myself saying, I like me, and that's why I like everybody.
And you could take that a little further. Everyone is my
reflection.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And if anybody in your world shakes you up, pulls your chain, then you better look at the chain and see where it's attached. Because it's attached to some place that you don't want to be. Nobody in the entire world, your mom, your dad, nobody can ever pull your chain, because you know who you are and you're being yourself and you're
having fun.
And having fun to the nth degree, because that's all that matters. Now, no matter where you are, you don't have to talk to people. But no matter where you are, if you're sitting in the airplane, you're sitting next to a person, they're going to say, you are such a peaceful person. Are you some sort of a guru or something like that? And you'll say, I like being peaceful. Yes, I'm a guru. I'm from India. I'm this. I'm that. I'm famous. Boop-a-doo. And they'll say, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't know where your humility went. But you see, famous people don't have to tell you they're famous. They shine it out through every pore of their being. And when you're famous, as you are right now, you're going to shine it out, and you don't have to say one word. But any word that you do say will be a word that doesn't glorify yourself. It does glorify yourself in so far as it reflects yourself, but it doesn't glorify yourself. It just makes the other person feel 10 feet tall. Because you see in them yourself and your goodness and who you are, and they feel just wonderful about that. True. Mm-hmm. But it all begins at home and it ends at home. And if you want a happy life, you be a happy person. And when you're a happy person, you are surrounded by
happy people.
And when you are a rich person,
surrounded by rich people.
And when you are a joyous person,
surrounded by joyous people.
And when you are showing forth your genius,
surrounded by genius.
Naturally. And I'm the first one to be there, aren't I? And isn't life wonderful?
Yes.
Really wonderful. Well, we wish you a joyous journey home, and we wish you a joyous life. And every time you come into our world, by your presence or by your letters or by your phone calls or by whatever, you will bring us a sparkle of joy that it will be unquenchable. Nor would we ever want to try to quench it. So have a lovely, lovely journey, a lovely time. And we will now have our own, and then we'll drive you home. At least to the airport. So just know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you. Love you.
Can you listen to it, Ellen?